This is the Future Great City Podcast from NextSTL.com. Today, we're joined by none other than Greg Johnson. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm good. Greg's a regular contributor to NextSTL, kind of has his thumb on the pulse of development in St. Louis as well. I get three-fourths of all my information from Greg. So
that's not true.
No, he's got his eyes on what's happening in St. Louis, and is kind of on top of things. And so we're trying to sit down, you know, every so often and just kind of run through what's happening in St. Louis. We've done a series of podcasts with individuals talking about what they're doing and how St. Louis is changing and getting their perspective. And we want to go back and kind of rehash and highlight some of the developments in St. Louis. So we're going to do just that. And I think the easiest way in our minds is to start at the river and we're going to work our way west.
Well, that sounds good.
So what do you see? Let's start with downtown and even the riverfront. What do you see happening down there, and what's been, you know, exciting in the last few months?
Well, you know, the most important thing downtown is the lid. Sorry, just kidding. Bad joke. eventually, when that's demolished, your grandchildren will sprinkle your ashes over Enon Avenue. But until that time, it'll have to wait. You know, there's a lot going on through the whole Central Corridor. Yeah. You know, as you look downtown and heading west, there are billions of dollars of investment happening right now.
Well, and with City Arch River, we're getting kind of close. You know, initially that was an end of 2015 thing, but it's going in 2017. But the museum's under construction. Trees are being planted on the arch grounds. Keener Plaza is completely being redone. So people are going to start to see the outcome of what that is going to become.
Right. And I think I was walking down there just a couple weeks ago, and it felt a little bit like a alien streetscape with, you know, everything's blocked off. You can't really, you know, you can't cross over the bridge yet. You have to kind of work your way around past the cathedral through this weird cage-like thing that goes over the lanes that are depressed.
And I'm still hoping those are temporary, but I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. But, you know, as you get down there, you know, they've cleared out a lot of the old trees. You know, they were ash trees. They were going to have to come down eventually because of the ash borer working its way west, and they're planting new trees. Some of the landscaping I think it's going to look good. I think it's going to be nice. You know, I think a lot of us felt like we lost or missed the opportunity to be spectacular and went with nice, but it will be nice, and I think people will enjoy it.
And I think there's you know, what we're looking at, what I've said, and this isn't, maybe this sounds harsh, but it's a $400 million project that's going to have a $200 million impact. So we should all be wowed by a $200 million impact, but anyway, we'll leave it there. But so it wasn't, for whatever it's worth, it wasn't enough to keep the St. Louis Rams in town. They didn't look at it and say, we're going to play next to this amazing urban park and a million more people are showing up and we're going to make a lot of money, and they skipped town.
What is this Rams of which you speak?
Apparently they were, where were they from?
I'm not sure.
They were from LA.
We stole them from somewhere.
They vacationed here for 20 years and then they went back.
I don't miss them.
But it's kind of surprising. Like, that's kind of the attitude I hear from lots of people. Yeah. Like, it's kind of strange. I mean, I know 20, but you know, an older generation didn't grow up with the Rams in town. They were kind of a borrowed team, it feels like. And our friend Stan burned any bridges left on his way out of town, and so people don't seem to care.
Yeah, what has surprised me is the amount of excitement over possibilities for Major League Soccer.
Right.
You know, that people are way more excited about that than they are about the Rams, at least in
my
neck of the woods.
Even from the corporate viewpoint, you have more people signing on to this effort to bring a team to town than were involved in the NFL effort.
Yeah, and you can do it for less than $1 billion.
Right, yeah. We could bring, bring seven MLS teams to town? Can we do that with our $1 billion? And we're recording here at Space Architects in the Grove, and through myself and an architect here, going back to a NextSTL event years ago, they did an MLS stadium design, and we've hosted a couple of events for it. And you're right, the enthusiasm is pretty amazing, and anytime something new is on social media, it kind of goes crazy. So I hope that happens, but nothing to report quite yet this year.
No, but I mean, if you do want to talk about big projects downtown, you know, the big dollar one is actually north of downtown, NGA, you know, $1.7 billion. Yeah. And that will provide, I think, you know, none of us is going to be crazy about the design of the place. It's going to have a big fence around it and, you know, ball fields and parking lots. But what it might do, I think, is provide a northwest edge to sort of downtown, old North St. Louis, St. Louis place. And if Paul McKee's actually going to come through, he has this set up pretty easily for him to do that, because St. Louis Place as a neighborhood is half a block east of NGA, and it's already mostly renovated around the park and a lot of new construction from about 10, 15 years ago. That bleeds, you know, a few rough blocks along Florissant, but then you get into Old North St. Louis where you've got a lot of new development.
Some real investment there.
I mean, even just this past couple weeks, you know, three or four new homes on Monroe Avenue in Old North St. Louis, mm-hmm. contemporary design, red brick, because, you know, they had to appease the authorities, the powers that be, but still new construction, new investment, and I think, you know, you're going to see a potential for some real development surrounding mm-hmm. the NGA and yeah. providing a safe barrier and edge for those neighborhoods.
Right. I think what you said is true. It's going to define North St. Louis, and I think that in a good way, because currently, for the most part, you stand at Del Mar, you stand at Florissant, and everything kind of off in the distance just kind of is all North St. Louis. And I think for most people, it's undefined. They don't know what's up there. There's a lot of vacancy, and so. I guess at this point, still a couple years out, kind of optimistic about the design of the building. I mean, it's an expensive project. Some of the other federal buildings look good. They're going to put real money behind designs. It's not going to be, what it won't be is just a boring warehouse. I mean, it will be a modern office building for whatever that's worth. And it'll be set back from the roadways. But we'll see. I don't think we're not going to see a chain link fence with barbed wire on top. With the current one.
Iron fence.
They'll hide the fence, right? They're going to, I don't know what they'll do. I think we're all going to have to wear collars and they'll have an electric fence around.
Maybe that's the way. Yeah. You know, but there's a lot.
But it's huge. Yeah, it's a big project. And that's a huge win for the city. And what's funny is that we'll get into lots of other developments. We could go on for a very long time. We'll see how long it takes. But this was seen as a huge win for Mayor Slay, right? So the NFL was kind of a loss for the mayor. He'd put a lot of energy, and his staff had put a lot of energy. The city had put a lot of money behind doing that, going after keeping the Rams in St. Louis. Didn't work. But the NGA stays, and I think the idea was like, wow, the mayor's riding a high. Like, this is his job for as long as he wants it. He's got a huge victory in his pocket. And then he said, no, I'm out. See ya. I'm not running again.
There's been so much speculation because just three or four weeks earlier, he had said that he was planning to run for a fifth mm-hmm. term. Right. And so everybody's kind of scratching their head asking, you know, what changed? And there are people who probably have the real answer to that. But I think one mm-hmm. thing that changed is he won NGA and he has the opportunity to leave on a high. Mm-hmm. And he's got $1 million in his campaign chest for whatever he wants to run for.
And he won or beat back the earnings tax as well. The repeal of the earnings tax, we should say. This is an effort to eliminate the 1% tax on earnings for people who live or work in the city of St. Louis. So that's gone for another 5 years, which is a big priority of his.
Yeah, and it also says that, you know, one very, very wealthy person can't turn that back on his own. I mean, a mm-hmm. lot of money was spent to try to defeat that, but mm-hmm. the vote was overwhelming that St. Louisans want this tax. I mean, it's when I look at my paycheck and I see that 1% deducted as somebody who works and lives in the city, mm-hmm. You know, that's actually the 1% that I don't feel bad about because I know exactly what that's going for.
Right. You see it every day, right? It's literally sidewalks and streets and police and police fire and everything else that we need to run a city. So.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll go back to the development news, kind of going west from downtown. What do you see?
Well, even just downtown, you know, you've mm-hmm. got a lot going on. You know, you've got the National Blues Museum opening. You've got the Alvern under construction. You've got, plans floated for the Jefferson Arms. We'll see what happens with that. You've got a couple big hotel projects, 705 Olive, of mm-hmm. course, you know, a very historic structure. It's going to be a boutique hotel. You've also got 1501 Washington right by City Museum on Washington Avenue. Equus Development is talking about a 140-room hotel there. You've got, certainly talk about, you know, the never-ending talk about the chemical building, which everybody wants to see something happen. Certainly there's a Couples 10 that has been incorporated in the state of Missouri. And of course we're out of Couples warehouses. So I know somebody who's seen a project there and says it looks pretty amazing. There's also,
and these are lots around near Busch Stadium where maybe two new construction rumors floating around in that area.
Cause
we'll be tracking those down.
There's something on that block east of, east of the stadium.
Surface parking
that's,
lot.
That's somebody maybe paid $5 million for that lot. Yeah. I can't remember the exact dollar amount. And then I suspect the Couples 10 is actually further west into the Couples thing. But
nothing at Ballpark Village.
Yeah, Ballpark Village has been the disappointment. You know, why is it that all these other developers can find profitable means to do this without all the support that's gone into Ballpark Village? I don't know.
I've always just assumed it's because, Cordish is a developer, obviously, but the Cardinals are not. And what it feels like is there's simply just zero pressure to do anything.
Yeah.
And they can be very patient. And organizations like that are, you know, they're not around to make money this year or next year. They're around to be here for a very, very long time.
So. And the fact of the matter is they are making money on that land right now as a parking lot.
Yes.
It's not the highest and best use, and I would certainly hope that over time the city would start putting increasing pressure on the Cards, specifically, not just on Cordish, and say, you know, you made a promise, you've got to deliver.
Right. It'll be interesting what happens if you get new construction across the street from the stadium on land that they don't own. It shows there are viable projects to be had, and they maybe even miss out on the next wave of development. So we'll see what happens.
It's a permanent public shaming for what you've done in Ballpark
Village. Well, what's funny is it's hard to keep coming back and back to it, but it's like what was promised over and over and over again hasn't come to be. But you start to hear this sink in St. Louis, and I hear people, frankly on sports radio and other places, that are like the Cardinals built Ballpark Village. Like, it's just a statement that you hear now, like, well, they built it. Like, there's a village. Like, it's the bars. It's just what it is. And so you start to get that creep in where people are just like, well, they built it. What's the problem? And it's like, well, anyway. So for people paying attention, which is everyone who listens to this podcast,
are
really down in the details in St. Louis, there were office towers, there were all kinds of things, residential that was supposed to be built for the All-Star Game in 2000-something, 10, 11, and we're still stuck.
There is other stuff going on downtown, you know, on the kind of north end of downtown, the old Globe building, what used to be the Midwest Terminal building, has been going through a very slow, steady rehab, and it's a massive, massive amount of square footage, and it's just been, nominated to the National Register of Historic Places, which will allow, you know, historic tax credits, both state and federal, to come into play. Haven't really heard an update in a while on Union Station, lodging, hospitality management, certainly planning some pretty big projects there.
Yeah, I think we anticipate kind of a rollout of more announcements this spring. And I think what they've announced so far are not the big news items. I think it gets bigger from here on out. So
yeah, you got the Ferris wheel.
Can we leave it at that? Yeah, you have a Ferris wheel announced, you have a food court announced. I think there's more coming. So,
yeah,
so that'll be exciting to see.
I suspect so. You've also got, Soldiers Memorial renovation, and that's really going to be a great space, a space you're going to want to take friends and family. You know, you think of the World War I Memorial in Kansas City, and it's going to be that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a pretty incredible museum there. I mean, there's a lot of artifacts. There are a lot of cool things. If people have seen the Civil War Museum down at Jefferson Barracks, I think it's similar scale and hopefully of similar quality. It's a pretty cool facility.
Yeah, and I think looking along the edges of downtown, along the east edge, the Mansion House complex, which is really 200 to 444 North 4th Street, that massive complex of black apartment buildings and hotels from the 1960s that was part of the Arch grounds, kind of prompted by the building of the Arch, you know, that has been nominated, and the entire complex has been nominated for the National Register of Historic Places, which means that somebody is looking at that thinking that there is some significant renovation potential there and use potential and some tax dollars that could assist in that. And I don't know if you've ever gone up onto the second level, the roof terrace of that complex. It's a time warp, but it's fascinating because as a piece of mid-century, modern architecture, it's really a fascinating space, some beautiful spaces, courtyards, colonnades, kind of international style. It's beautiful. There's even a little chapel up there, but of course it's abandoned and it smells like urine right now because, it's where a homeless person might go to the bathroom because they can get some privacy. But as a complex, it has some real potential. Looking south of downtown, Planning Commission has just approved some very significant changes to the strategic land use plan, which, hadn't been updated, I don't think, in decades.
Right. And you've written about that on NextSTL. So once people listen to this, they'll be able to read kind of your update on the website.
Yeah. All those areas, what we think of as Old Rock House, Four Hands Brewing Company, Patios, the Eugene Field House and St. Louis Toy Museum, Broadway Oyster Bar, BB's, you see all these individual buildings down there and they were once part of a vibrant, mixed-use, dense neighborhood where people lived and worked and played and commerce was happening. And right now, you know, I think Alderman, you know, Kodar, 7th Ward downtown, has been encouraging this process. But, you know, that's all now been rezoned as, well, everything except for, you know, Nestle Purina has been rezoned just recently as, you know, mixed use, which means that the vision there is for higher uses for people to be able to live there, which that hasn't been legal in decades because the zoning didn't allow people to live there. You know, it allowed, you know, garbage junkyard. It allowed, you know, yeah, parking
fast food
lots,
restaurants and things like that.
Industrial, but it didn't actually allow for people.
And this was literally like kind of a post-World War II urban renewal rezoning that has, like you said, it's been here half a century you know, the highway came through, other things came through, and the zoning literally just wouldn't allow housing. Which is pretty amazing to think.
Yeah, 1947 was the plan that rezoned all of that, and it just led to the death of the whole area. And what we're seeing now is all of these individual historic structures, almost every one of them has been revitalized and brought to life, and now they're just waiting for the neighborhood to come back with the people and the residences, the apartments, the townhomes, the office buildings. And I think the vision is that you will eventually be able to walk from Soulard or LaSalle Park or Lafayette Square straight into downtown without walking across a surface parking lot or an empty, creepy, you know, block or two.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing is walking from Soulard to downtown is not very far. I mean, no. Soulard Market to Busch Stadium has got to be not much more than a half mile.
Maybe.
So, but it's a terrible walk. And so these things can be fixed. And what's amazing is this is, we're still kind of dealing with it in a patchwork way, but you're getting significant areas of the city that are being rezoned, including parts of Forest Park Southeast and the Grove, which we'll write about soon, and other parts of the city too. So that's exciting to see. That sets the stage for some real progress.
Yeah, and heading west from downtown, the whole area between downtown and midtown has just been rezoned as well. It was also, you know, a lot of it was industrial, commercial kinds of stuff, or unrestricted, which meant anybody could do anything on the land except live there. And that whole 20th Street interchange just west of Union Station that was once going to be, you know, the beginning of a interstate loop cutting through downtown, you know, that that area has now been, you know, rezoned as special mixed use.
Yeah, and this is the west side of Union Station, almost all the way to Jefferson, not quite, but...
Yeah, actually all the way to Jefferson, and then even across Jefferson up through what we think of as Midtown Alley, kind of the north of Olive, along the corridor through Locust Street. That whole area is now mixed use, which really opens the door for a certain kind of development that we want, that we think of when we think of an urban, walkable, livable city.
Right. And this is another space where, you know, Union Station feels like it's kind of on the precipice of downtown. It's like on the edge of downtown. And once you leave Union Station, you feel like there's only one direction you can walk. Yeah. And these types of changes can really alter that experience.
Yeah, you know, whenever I drive through that part of downtown, I actually really love the big, ugly pile of dirt on the side of the highway because that was left there as they were working in the area because the plan long term is to fill all that in and actually return it to a street grid, have
so
a sensible interchange.
Dirt storage currently.
That dirt pile is the hope of St. Louis. Don't anybody touch the dirt
pile. That's a t-shirt waiting to happen.
That is going to fill in the gully of the interstate that was not.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
So you've got, we've gone through what, a dozen, two dozen big projects downtown and not everything happens and not everything happens quickly, but it's a pretty amazing list when you start to think about it. And I said, this is where, you know, I joke around and tell people like St. Louis is hot, like this place is rocking. And yet, and we do our best to try to cover these things and we don't hit on all of them very regularly. And there's, I think there's no place else that is trying to chronicle these changes. So, but it's phenomenal to hear in one, you know, just in a short conversation about downtown, how many different things are happening.
Yeah. And as you head west there from Midtown, you've got the Misery Theater building, you know, that whole renovation that's underway now. You've got...
And that's being done with Bull Moose Tubing is moving their offices there, and Lawrence Group is redeveloping that building. You still have the Grandel Theater across the street, which is apparently going to become theater space again, but there's been no announcement on that for kind of a long time now.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about that for a couple of years, and I've wondered, you know, because they moved out the Black Repertory Theater.
Right. So it's been vacant for a year and a half, or so.
But you know, you've got the Dot Zack development, what most of us know of as Plush on Locust mm-hmm. Street, the old Cadillac building, which, you know, it's going to be turned into a performing arts incubator. You've got, you know, at SLUS building two new dorms. Mm-hmm.
And they've topped out at this point, I think.
Yeah, one of them looks
pretty significant.
One of them looks a lot better than the other, but it's still going to bring a lot more of life energy.
And they're both adding to the skyline. These are pretty big buildings. You can see them from quite a ways. So.
Yeah, one of the things I love about St. Louis is if you could ever find a photograph of St. Louis from the south. You know, we always picture it either from, you know, East St. Louis looking across at the arch. That's the picture everybody sees. But if you look at it from, say, the top of SLU Hospital parking garage or, you know, somewhere thereabouts, and you see there are like five skylines because you've got the downtown skyline, then you head west and you got the midtown skyline with, you know, the Continental building and, you know, SLU, all this kind of stuff. And then you head west and you got the Central West End skyline with the dome of the Cathedral Basilica and the Chase Park Plaza and all these, you know, dozens and dozens of 1920s, 1930s high rises. And then you head west and there's another tiny little blip along Skinkers. You've got a bunch of high rises and you get the Clayton skyline. And, you know, that's all still alive. There's still new construction in every single one of those areas.
So let's see how quickly we can run through projects and starting Grand Center going west. So we have the St. Louis University SSM Hospital project was a $500 million.
Yeah, $500 million.
That's moving ahead pretty quick. It's going to be adjacent to the current hospital. The historic towers feature is a little bit uncertain, but what it sounds like to us is that it's going to remain and they'll find a new use for it. You go north from there. What's this happening in Grand Center? We're starting to hear things on Olive, the vacant land. There initially was going to be student housing a little bit. This is near the Masonic Temple, which we've heard nothing about, near the Contemporary Art Museum and behind Moolah Temple and things like that. That's all owned by the Pulitzer Foundation or that center, and they're talking to people about some pretty cool ideas for that area. You go further west, we've heard nothing about the Optimist building, which was a mid-century building that could be renovated for office space, but there's been no movement on that. But we have lots of cranes in the Central West End still.
Oh, man, you do. You've got the Orion, you got Whole Foods, you've got, you know, the Opus project at Euclid and Lindell. You know,
the Komen project across from the Orion at West Pine and Euclid, which will have a Shake Shack.
Yeah, that's what it will be known for. You got a lot of
Shake Shack building,
small projects along the edges of the Central West End. You know, you've got condos being developed, at least proposed at Laclede and Sarah. And
yeah,
then
pre-sales are kicking off on that pretty soon. So
block north at West Pine, just one block north, you got the townhouse development proposed, and of course, mm-hmm. you know, West Pine Lofts and all of that. That whole, if you haven't driven down Sarah Street south of Lindell Boulevard, it's really a different animal. And then of course, Cortex, you know, is. We've at least seen a preliminary rendering, you know, a hypothetical rendering of a Silo Lofts project mm-hmm. there at Forest Park Avenue. That at least the initial. You know, schematic looks pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and I think some of these developments they took some optimism to get off the ground, and we're going to need more that's maybe uncommon to St. Louis, because I know as people look at the Orion building, which is I think 275 or 277 units, there's a Whole Foods in it, but they're putting, you know, $4,500 for a three bedroom, close to $4,000 for a large two bedroom apartment in that place, and I think a lot of people look at that and think, well, that's insane. It's just A, it's not going to work. B, who the hell are these people with money? And what people don't realize, like there is a demand for urban living in St. Louis. And it always strikes me, I'm from a small town. St. Louis is 2.8 million people. 2.8 million people. Like, you're telling me we can't have an expensive apartment building? Like, you know, there's just this lack of confidence, I think. And the Opus building, which will be 14 stories, another 150, 180 apartments on Lindell at Euclid, is going to be expensive as well. Silo Lofts would be expensive, but I think there's room to grow, and Cortex is driving a lot of this. I mean, you're getting not just big corporate names involved. There will be hotels to follow. The hospital complex is adding employment. Children's Hospital is doubling in size and in terms of some of the, you know, the room for beds they have. I mean, there are massive investments happening that are really altering the landscape of the neighborhood.
Yeah, even I noticed recently that the penthouse of the Park Plaza, you know, which is probably the number one address in St. Louis. I mean, Euclid and Kings Highway, Lindell and Kings Highway, you know, a block off of Euclid overlooking Forest Park. And, you know, the original plan had been to dice that up into a couple different units. And now the plan is that top floor or two is going to be one big, massive, unit, and you know they're gonna yeah. make money. People are laughing at them. They're gonna laugh all the way to the bank.
You want to be roommates? How much is it?
You know, it's probably beyond my. You know, I work for a not for profit, so it's probably beyond my ability.
I just work for places that don't make a profit. We're not a not for profit. Yeah.
But you know, you've also got the Pete Rothschild's development on Olive Street at mm-hmm. the north end, one of the coolest blocks in the Central West End with that old theater building and
this is where Bowood Farms and Cafe Osage is.
Yeah, just off of that. Yeah. That new development, you know, the first floor is keeping the historic skin, and then a high rise, you know, mm-hmm. a mid-rise at least rising out of that, and that's well underway of construction.
Right.
Yeah, that's really going to transform that Olive Street corridor east of Euclid.
And there are more towers coming. There are more towers coming in the Central West End, and we know that, you know, that Kings Highway Lindell has been a focus, and Kings Highway West Pine has been a focus of a lot of developers lately, and again, another thing that these things can take a long time to put together because these are very big projects, but they're coming. I think I'm, confident in saying we're going to hear more about those this year.
Yeah, and you know, you've got Euclid Plaza at the far north end of Euclid, mm-hmm. that conversion project. It's really exciting. You know, the Central West End is probably the neighborhood that people most think of when they think of the ideal walkable neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You'll have three full-service grocery stores that you can walk to. You've got a Metrolink station. You've got a great urban park. You've got places to work, places to live. You know, right. even just WashU Medical Center and Barnes Jewish Hospital. You know, they're investing, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And St. Louis College of Pharmacy is still under construction, adding right. another building. There's a lot of life there.
Yeah, it's interesting how old the news becomes so quickly. You know, it's kind of like none of these places have even opened. Like, no one's living in them yet. No one's working in them yet. And we kind of mentally, we kind of already move on and think, what's next? You know, what's the next rumor?
Yeah.
The Metrolink station, the new one at the 4240 building, is still quite a ways from breaking ground. It'll open hopefully next year sometime.
Yeah.
Kings Highway at Forest Park Parkway is going to come to grade, and it's going to be kind of an urban intersection, which I think will really change that little corner of the neighborhood and make Forest Park more accessible. Not everybody agrees. I think it'll be a great change, though. And then you go south into the Grove, and we have the 4321 Manchester building, which is kind of a 20-unit contemporary apartment building, just opened in the last couple weeks. And you know, that's something that, again, is kind of, it's so easy to move, like alter your mindset and just take that for granted and be like, oh yeah, the Grove has lots of cool stuff in it and this is open and that's open. But man, you go back a year and a half and I think most people would have didn't believe something like that would happen. So
yeah, and you know, going back to Cortex just north of there, you know, you've got the tech shop building, which is also bringing in Alchemy, what used to be mm-hmm. AAI Pharma. You've got certainly discussion of potential hotel project, potential mixed use project I've heard discussion of between the Cortex One and the DuPont building. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got some site clearing that's happened recently of the old St. Louis Metalizing site on just west of Sarah along Highway 40. Well, we don't know what's going in there yet, but at the very least, they're clearing the site, getting ready for some future development. And then you've got, you know, just across Vanaventer, not within the boundaries of the Cortex district, but you've got the whole East of Cortex project that mm-hmm. that the Lawrence Group is putting together. That's going to be really fantastic.
That's only $230 million.
Yeah, that's
we hardly have time to mention that. Now, it's amazing that how much is happening, and you go from that south along Vanaventer, and there's some rezoning happening there that will probably invite more retail. Yeah. It seems like there's not a real stopping point in sight. I mean, things just seem to continue to build on each other.
Yeah.
So we go from there to Forest Park, and as we speak, and by the time you listen to this, there'll be a write-up on nextstl.com as well. But the zoo has come out with their 25-year plan, which at first glance kind of mirrors what they put out a couple years ago in their planning, which is to eliminate the south parking lot and make that more animal space, and then build a hotel and parking and visitors amenities across the highway, including apparently a gondola. Apparently St. Louis is actually going to get a gondola, not at the arch, but at the zoo, I guess.
I want a gondola.
You want one from the Central West End to, I don't know, to the ballpark or something, right? Yeah. Let's just gondola the whole place. So that's going to be exciting. I mean, that's another huge investment. Forest Park obviously has a lot of investment happening. Washington University is remaking the front of its campus, adding a couple more buildings. That alters the city as well, which, you know, it feels like a bubble over there, but these are big projects that that add to our city.
Yeah, and the big PACE project in the Loop, I mean, that's going to add a major new, you know, a residential high-rise to the Del Mar Loop on the anchoring, really, the city end of Del Mar.
Yeah, and that's a vacant lot next to a Metrolink station that's going to be a couple hundred apartments with retail space as well.
14 stories, and right now, you know, the planning changes that have just recently been approved behind that. You know, you look behind that site just north of Del Mar near the Metrolink station. It's all these kind of creepy one-story board up buildings. Mm-hmm. You don't know, maybe it's industrial. Eventually some of it's WashU, but actually that whole area has been rezoned as specialty mixed use because the city's vision for that is that would actually become a neighborhood.
Yeah, I think if you go back to some of the retail studies and planning studies that WashU has helped fund, for that area, you start to get a visual image of kind of that mid-rise infill that they're hoping for eventually.
Yeah, you know, Delmar Hall, $1.9 million building permit just approved for, you know, what used to be the bike shop there on Delmar.
Right, and that was Big Shark Bikes that's now moved to Big Bend near Highway 40, went into the vacant High FIFO Fund building. So, I mean, you've got a lot of movement, which is ultimately a very good thing. I mean, people finding better uses and better fits for various buildings. And the Loop Trolley. Most of the tracks have been laid. Apparently, we're going to have a trolley.
Yeah, and I actually, I wouldn't say I'm bullish on the Loop Trolley, but I'm not cynical about it. Yeah. It is.
I'm
it
bullish is, against expectations.
Yeah, yeah. You've said that. we've heard you, Alex. We've heard you well on that. But I think as a tourist trolley, it'll actually probably be fairly successful. And, but the hope is that it becomes part of a larger system, you know, part of our larger, you know, public transit system.
Yeah, and these are the things that just need to be figured out. And the idea itself is very attractive. The process to get here and the management of the process and what happens from here on out is kind of the unknowns that just need work. I mean, we don't know if your Metrolink ticket will work on it. We don't exactly know what the operating hours will be.
Or how many SUVs. How many SUVs will lose a door because they maybe didn't measure right?
Hopefully a mirror. We'll start with mirrors and we'll take doors later. Yeah. So you go west from there, and let's talk about basically downtown Clayton and some of the things happening there.
Yeah, I mean, you got Apogee Tower, 14 stories, 233,000 square feet, $68 million project on Forsyth, 8100 block. You've got Centene has been gobbling up land along the south side
expensive
of Forsyth.
Expensive land.
Yes, they have. They've bought a lot of land there, and there's talk not only of, you know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 jobs, but there's also been talk of a performing arts venue. There's been talk of a hotel, and you think, oh, wait a minute, that seems kind of outlandish. But, you know, Centene already has an auditorium on site that various arts organizations use, and they have a long history of being patrons of the arts, and I think Clayton might get a performing arts venue out of this.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, there's an enormous amount of land there. So in a way, it's very expensive and it's very desirable. I mean, it does remind me of kind of Lindo and Kings Highway. Everybody looks at it and says, it's got to be an awesome place for something, but it's almost like the stakes are high enough and it's expensive enough that you've got to do it right. And so so people have taken their time with it, but we're getting closer.
Yeah, and you've got a potential for real transit-oriented development and that you've got, you know, a Metrolink station right there at the eastern end of that site. So I think it's really prime land, and I think Clayton's going to work with them to actually make a successful project.
And that's where the Clayton Master Plan is called for pretty dense development there. I mean, high-rise, you know, condo towers or apartment towers and hotels and things like that. So that's the direction it's heading. I think is it 212 South Merrimack? What used to be called the Crossing Building is under construction. It's three or four stories high.
That'll add
apartments.
It's getting taller.
Far. Yeah. It is getting taller. I don't know how big it's going to be. We'll just have to wait and see.
Pretty big. Yeah. This is not a small project. Yeah. And you've also got all sorts of small infill. You know, what's been happening in Clayton for decades has been, teardowns and infill and things like that, particularly north of Maryland in Old Town. Clayton, yeah, that's going to continue.
It's interesting to watch Clayton's development, and for me to be in town now 12 years and start to understand where Clayton fits in this and just people's mindset and in the region economically. And it's a phenomenal economic success story. I mean, you look at, I can't tell you how many homes, every time a home is marketed for less than 600,000, there's always a line that's like, would be a nice place to live or perfect for a teardown. It's like, it's a $600,000 home, you know? It's amazing how quickly that's changing. And it's always been kind of the wealthy inner ring suburb, and it's outpacing even that past wealth. I mean, it's becoming hyper wealthy, it would appear.
Yeah. And I don't see Clayton's future as a threat to St. Louis City. You know, mm-hmm. I think if we think regionally, if we think of St. Louis as 2.8 million people and this, you know, almost 3 million person region has this central corridor from, you know, Lenore K. Sullivan to 170. It's about a mile wide, and it has, you know, down both our downtowns, downtown mm-hmm. St. Louis and the smaller downtown Clayton. It has both our research universities, SLU and Washington University. It's got our major research hospital with BJC WashU Medical Center. It's got, you know, it's got our St. Louis Art Museum, our Missouri Historical Society and History Museum. It's got our theater district. It's got, you know, it's really where the creative classes in the St. Louis region want to live, where they want to play, where they want to work. And it's where all of St. Louis goes to learn and to play and when they've got cancer. You know, it's that life-giving center of the region, the real heart. And Clayton is the left ventricle, and we shouldn't mm-hmm. despise that because, you know, really Clayton thriving and St. Louis as a region thriving, they go hand in hand because it's all part of the same right. thing once you erase the theoretical boundaries of governmental structures.
And I think in some regions that have just a central business district, one downtown, you know, you can look at Clayton and say some of those things would be downtown St. Louis if Clayton didn't exist. But a lot of that would just be around our suburban interstates and other places, I think. I mean, that's my take on it. But it'll be interesting to see how that transformation continues because it's significant. And there's a lot of development pressure in that part of our region.
Yeah, and the thing about Clayton is they're not making new land. And mm-hmm. so, you know, what's there is really in high demand. There are a few sites, you know, that just never seem to get developed. The old, you know, Clayton Schnooks at Clayton, yeah. Clayton Road and, right. and Hanley. You know, I keep hearing that it's going to happen, but whether that ever becomes a development or not, I'm not really sure right. because
and
I
there,
keep hearing
there are renderings
things.
Of that out. There's a proposal, yeah. an official proposal out by a developer, by a local developer, and in a revision coming soon, which again may be okay. posted by the time you listen to this, but it's working its way through the process. But right, that's been vacant yeah. since I moved here, and it's another parcel that you just assumed wouldn't sit there for very long.
It's what used to be known as the single Schnooks. It's the yeah. it's the Schnooks that you went to if you were looking for a date, and so
I can't believe I missed that.
yeah. Well, it was back in the you know, 1990s. It was back in the
where
day.
Do you go now?
You know, I'm not looking for a date.
All right. And then north of there at Wydown and Hanley, I think there was an RFP out for a residential development there as well. And I hear that's coming down the pike, so to speak. So we'll see what happens there.
And one of the exciting things happening with Clayton is actually Shaw Park itself. Mm-hmm. You know, SWT Design has just completed, you know, new design for the park that'll include water features and some new gathering places. And, you know, I've seen the designs there. They're really going to be stunning, and it's a donor that has donated not only the funds necessary to redevelop those parts of the park, but also the money to maintain them. And so in that sense, this central corridor is really bookended by two parks, you know, the Arch Grounds on one end and Shaw Park on the other. And both of those parks are really seeing some renovation and redevelopment.
That's great. Well, what did we miss? I'm sure there's a dozen things that we didn't get to, and you've got the list.
So. You know, there's a lot that we've missed. Just little projects that we don't think of, like the Henry Miller Museum, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers mm-hmm. is renovating the house in which Henry Miller, its founder, first began. And, you know, it's just north and west of downtown, and everything I've seen about it looks pretty exciting. In South City, you've got the Limp Brewery. That whole complex has just been rezoned as mixed use mm-hmm. With a vision towards redevelopment. And the one building, the Limp Brewery 1 building at the northeast corner of that at Cherokee, right up against the highway, that's been the one that if you look at it on Google Maps, it has no roof. It's a disaster. The skin is nice, but there's no building inside left. And they're investing $500,000 right now, not just to put a new roof on, but to build the structure that's actually going right. to hold up that
And those
roof.
Are the kind of things that really are not indicative of something happening this year, but knowing that that structure is taken care of. And again, these buildings will last for a very long time if you can keep water out of them. So if we can do that, there's a lot of hope for the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of stuff happening, and just all of the small projects. You know, every Monday, you know, I go and, you know, I have the day off, and I go through and I look up small projects, building permits, you know, things $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, right. And just the number of $300,000 projects of, you know, your Tower Grove four family that's being converted into a two family, or your two family that's becoming a one family. Yeah, there's a small new apartment building proposed South Broadway, South 7th Street in mm-hmm. Soulard, yep. You know, right next to the, you know,
Polar Wave ice warehouse, right?
Yeah, and so was a small, it was the Victor Ironworks, the mm-hmm. proposal is to tear that down, which, you know, I'm typically a fan of preservation, but tear that sucker down. It is not going to be missed, and you're going to get an apartment complex there on that eastern edge of Soulard where things otherwise bleed away, and there's so many small projects like that.
The Lafayette School in Soulard that's going, and we're going back because this is the first time we've kind of run through these projects. There's a lot of stuff that is underway in St. Louis. You have the Detente project, the apartments in Shaw that has finally broken ground on land that's been vacant for 20 years. You just have a lot of stuff that's getting off the ground in St. Louis. So it feels like a good time to be here. And it sounds like, I know you're always excited and optimistic about these things, but how do you feel about St. Louis now? I mean, there's just genuinely seems to be a lot of things to be very excited about.
You know, I've been in St. Louis since 1994. I've lived in the city since 97. And, you know, what this feels like is it's beginning to get that density of project, that frequency of project and high dollar projects that it's reminding me of, you know, before the bubble, when it seemed like, you know, back 2005, 6, 7, when it seemed like there was a new big project being announced every week. And right now, it looks like this actually might be sustainable. You know, we're definitely in this very optimistic growth phase as a region. You know, certainly St. Louis as a region is not rapidly growing, but the Central Corridor is rapidly growing and revitalizing because people are moving into the city. And I look at St. Louis, I think our best days are ahead of us.
You got it. With that, I think we're going to wrap this up, and hopefully you enjoyed kind of hearing about all the different things happening in St. Louis, and we hope to come back and do this every couple months and try to keep you up to date. Obviously, you can find most of these stories or stories about most of these projects on nextstl.com by either myself, Greg, or some of our other contributors.
Thanks, Alex.
This has been the Future Great City Podcast on nextstl.com. Thanks for joining us. Be informed, be engaged, be part of what's next. Nextstl.com.